Been a couple hours talking Mets and Yanks. Why not keep it going? You know, it's funny. I was reading something the other day that it was a columnist. Well, I'm not going to mention by name, but whatever. It doesn't really matter. I'll just leave his name out. And he was writing an opinion of another talk show host. I would say sports talk show host, but I use that term loosely when talking about this individual who will also remain nameless. And excuse me, I'm trying to eat a protein bar. Oh, God.
That granola just messes you up, bro.
Zoo, I thought we were having a couple of minutes break, and then I hear you coming right back after. I was like, oh, this is going to be a problem. As I was mid-bar, I only got like three quarters of it down. I tried to have the water before you heard the music playing a little bit, and of course I get choked up. Give me one sec here.
Oh, you got it. You got to love it when you get a nice granola. Oof.
No, no granola. It's a Think Bar.
Ooh.
A little cupcake, chocolate cupcake action.
Nice.
That's the most sugar that I'll have usually on during the week. I forget, I need a little jolt here to get me through the next 3 hours. But anyway, back to the story at hand. Now that I should be okay. It got me so emotional. I got all choked up.
Hey, we got through
it. So, yeah, we're okay. We're good to go now, I think. The story was saying that one of the, like I said, guys who, this guy who does a talk show, sports talk show, but it's not really a sports talk host, at least not in my opinion, was talking about how he thinks it's boring to break down the Mets and Yankees every single day. And I understand it to a certain extent, but then what the hell else are you going to talk about when nothing else is happening in New York sports? If you don't like it, then don't do sports talk. Find a way to make it entertaining, like others do. Good God. I mean, oh, you could talk Mets and Yankees every day. Well, what are you going to do, make something up about the OTAs? What do you want to talk about? Aaron Rodgers again? Can't talk Mets and Yankees? You don't want to break them down after the games? I mean, come on now. I think people, there are too many people in sports talk now that don't like sports talk. Now, I did 25 minutes on Vanderpump Rules the other night. We'll change it up, but ultimately, it's Mets and Yankees right now that drives this town as far as sports talk goes. End of story. It is on the host to make it entertaining. It's not the topic. It's the host. Mets and Yankees, yeah, it could get monotonous talking about them if you don't create something with it or if you don't do it in an entertaining fashion. And right now, in particular, Mets have a big series in front of them, a season-defining series in Atlanta. Where is the season over if they lose this? No, but it does show what they're made of. And obviously, the Yankees are awaiting Aaron Judge. You know, with the Yankees, it's a nondescript return home, take on the White Sox. You know, Red Sox, always fun. They'll have another Sunday night baseball game as well. Next Sunday, that's back-to-back Sunday night baseball games for the Yankees taking on the Red Sox after the Dodgers game. And then, of course, you get the Subway Series, which will be fun. But, I mean, come on, guys. It's sports talk. This is what we do. Philip is calling from Jamaica, Queens. What's up, Philip?
Hello, thank you for taking my call. And I just want to say you do a great job, and you shouldn't let one caller, you know, say you don't. Just know that I know the majority of the callers probably think you do an amazing job.
Yeah, well, hold on. Let me just put you on hold 1 second, Philip, before I get back to you. I want to address something here. And I believe me, I appreciate every one of you guys who call up and are positive and say you're doing a great job. Let me just make one thing clear. I know I'm good. Like, I appreciate it, but I know I'm good at what I do. And nothing that Roscoe, because you're referencing the caller earlier to start the show that was just trying to be an agitator. I'm not sure if I'm getting the right message across. I'm fine. He's just an idiot. I'm not, and he didn't even say that I wasn't good or anything like that. He didn't know what he wants. But I'm over it, so we could all move on. Believe me, I'm going to sleep like a baby tonight. You best believe I am going to sleep like a baby. My last shift before going back to the overnight, I will sleep well. I haven't even given it a second thought, you know, outside of getting it off my chest where we talked about it with Zoo a little bit after the fact. It's just idiocy is mind-boggling, but it has nothing to do with how I feel about myself. I don't let that stuff get me down. I've seen a lot worse on social media, and even that I don't even read anymore. Anyway, Philip, continue. I appreciate it, though, Philip. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to continue the previous caller. I agree with the previous caller. If you get Otani, you have to pay so much money And then the what about the other areas? You know, Scherzer and Verlander are older. You have, probably have to get two new pitchers soon. You need a DH. So instead of putting, you know, you already invested a lot of money in Lindor. So I agree. Instead of putting all your money in one or two players, what about getting good players in every position? And, like, you win as a team and you lose as a team, rather than just have one or two really good players and then try to fill in the other players. So,
You lost me. I'm not sure how you would build a team. What do you, and when you say one or two good players, who is that exactly?
Well, I'm thinking, like, you're giving a lot of money to Lindor, and then if you get a Bonte, you would have to give him a lot of money. So instead of paying all those players. Well,
is there a salary cap, Philip, that I'm unaware of?
Oh, no, there's not a salary cap. But
so what's the difference? What's the difference? I don't understand.
Well,
do
I know
want the best who's – let me ask you something. The Mets need a DH, right? Do you agree?
Yeah, I'll totally agree.
Okay, so who's the best DH available next year?
It's
easy.
The previous caller.
You want me to tell you? You want me to help you out? He plays for the Angels.
Yeah, I know. But then you have to give up you have to pay so much money.
No, Philip. Let's just simplify. I was trying to make it simple. So if the Mets have a needed DH, and then I ask you, who's the best available DH, and your answer is?
I would take Chapman.
Oh, God. No. I didn't ask you that. I asked you, the Mets have, let's try one more time, Philip, as simple as possible. The Mets have a needed DH. Who's the best available DH in the offseason, assuming that we get to free agency with him?
Okay, with Brio Tati.
Okay, Shohei Ohtani, right? So we agree that Ohtani's the best available DH.
Yeah.
So why not go get him? Oh, I don't understand. Why not go get him? You want a third baseman. You want Matt Chapman. The Mets already have a third baseman. They don't have a need at third base. They have a third baseman.
Yeah, but if you put so much money to get a Tati, then you can't improve on the position. It'd be harder to improve on the position.
Why? Says who?
Well, he doesn't have unlimited money.
Yes, he does. And thank you for the call, Philip. Yes, he does. You're not understanding. You guys aren't understanding something. What other positions, by the way, do you think the Mets need to fill? They need a DH. They might not even need a left fielder, depending on Ronnie Mauricio, depending on what you do there. Nimmo's not going anywhere. He's in center field. Marte has one more year. Zoo, can you just check that? Didn't he sign a 3-year or was it 2-year? I know Escobar and Canna were 2 years. I believe Marte is here, right? Another year? But let's just say
he's
the Mets
could at least one more.
Yeah, right. But let's just say the Mets could use potentially an outfielder. I'll agree. They could use an outfielder.
2 more years for Marte.
2 more after this? So he signed a 4-year deal?
4 years, $78 million.
Okay. All right, fine. So Marte's not going anywhere. Nimmo, Marte, and they could maybe use another outfielder, depending on how they work with Mauricio and McNeil. Second base is set because it's one or the other. First base is set. Shortstop is set. Third base is set. Catcher is set. Where exactly are the other needs for the Mets? It's starting rotation, and it's DH. Maybe left field. That's it. Like, we literally just broke it down for you there. And you're trying to add Matt Chapman to a team that already has a third baseman. They have one clear need in the lineup, DH. There is one clear-cut guy far better than any other option out there who happens to be one of the top pitchers in baseball. And you're going to tell me you don't want him now? Now all of a sudden you're... So for years, the same callers that were calling up ripping prior ownership, they're not spending. Now I'm getting calls saying, well, I wouldn't spend all the money on Ohtani. What? You want two or three guys, you want to build out a team. Why? What are you looking to build a bench? They're already set. The Mets are set. This is the team, which is what brings us back to the main issues here. The biggest disappointment on this team is Francisco Lindor. We could talk about Alonso. We could talk about Marte. We could talk about McNeil. Those are the guys. Scherzer, Verlander, Kodai Senga. Those are the guys that got to get the job done. It's not about Daniel Vogelback. It's not about bringing up Ronnie Mauricio. It's not even about Mark Canha or Tommy Pham, who you guys all love to call and talk about and you want them out of here. It's not about them. It's about the stars. And the bigger problem is Lindor is just getting started here. Owen is calling from Toms River, New Jersey. What's up, Owen?
Hey, what's up, Sal? I totally agree with you on the Shohei Ohtani thing. I don't know what those two guys were talking about. I don't know how you put up with them for so long. But yeah, well, back to Lindor, I'm the biggest Lindor defender there is. I'm always defending him to my dad. Elite defense still, but, yeah, the offense just hasn't been there. I don't know. I mean, I try to justify it and say, like, if he could get 25, 30 homers and 100 RBIs, that's a good year. But I don't know. I'm starting to get concerned. These at-bats they're not even competitive. He goes up there and he's looking fastball first pitch almost every time, and he gets off-speed stuff and he just looks silly. I don't know what to think. I'm starting to get very concerned.
If I were to ask you, who do you think the Mets' best player is on their team? What would your answer be? All around best player on their team.
Before the year, I would say Francisco Lindor, and I think when he's hitting the way he's capable of, I think it's still him. But I agree.
I agree, but that's why it's a major problem. I mean, you can't have your best player on your team hitting .213. I don't care who devalues, you know, batting average, it still means something. And hitting .213 for him, which is about 60 points less than his career average, that's just not going to get the job done. His on base is down from his career. His slugging is down. Everything is down. His OPS is significantly down. So you could look at his ribbies. That's the one thing that may be there. Everything else is down across the board for Lindor. He has not been good offensively by almost any measure. And he is their guy. That was their superstar in that lineup that they went out there and paid. I know Alonso's great. Lindor's the guy. And he's been anything but in now two out of the three seasons he's been here.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, I don't know. And I mean, hopefully a drastic change comes soon. But yeah, it's not looking good as of right now, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the good news is he's going to be here through 2031. And thanks for the call, Owen. 2031. Look, I like Lindor. I want to like him a lot more. I want him to be better. He's got to be better. He's got to be more consistent. Last year was terrific. You take that any day of the week. Last year, he was right around his career numbers, even a little less than his career numbers, just looking at it now. Although I guess this year has brought some of those numbers down. But anyway, last year was .270, .339 on base, which is his exact career right now. .449 slugging. He was at .470 for his career. .788 OPS. He's at .809. So he was right around, you know, .270 batting average, career .274 hitter. 26 and 107. You'd take that anytime. He's got to hit 25 or more home runs. Now remember, this is a guy who had 38 home runs in Cleveland as his high water mark. 33 in 2017, 38 in 2018, 32 in 2019. 20 in his first year with the Mets, 26 last year. He's got to hit 25 or more. If it's less than 20, if he hits fewer than 25 home runs, it's a bust for Francisco Lindor. He's got to hit more than 25 homers, driving 100 runs, and he's got to hit .270. He's the problem. See, the Yankees' best player is the best player in the sport. Now, I'm not trying to say Lindor's got to be that, but he's got to be able to be the best player on the team. And right now, it's not even clear-cut that he is. He should be. You give him credit for playing every day. I love him for that. Love the defense. He's got to be more impactful offensively, especially on a team that is not built well around him offensively. Yeah, McNeil's a nice offensive player. Led the league in hitting last year, for goodness sake. He's hitting .280, and he does not hit with power. That's a problem. Alonso's average is way down. And all he does is, you know, hit with power this year. Which is not a knock, but again, where are the complete offensive players on this Mets team? Sandy is calling from Lebanon, Connecticut. What's up? What's up, Sandy?
Oh, hey there. I'm so happy to talk to you, Sal. You have such passion, and I appreciate you. I really do. I love when you're on.
Well, thank you, Sandy. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
how are we doing today?
Yeah, so here's my thing. This guy, Domingo Herman, I want to talk about him if you'd give me a little time. You know, he's really, he needs some fine-tuning, but he has really, his pitching is sometimes like, he goes from one extreme to the next. Like, he pitched yesterday, I think it was, and it was, like, so superb. He was just extraordinarily good. And then you look at I think he was with the Twins, and he had some sticky stuff, and they allowed him to wash his hands or whatever and come back. And then the same crew, he comes back. It's the same crew that's the... monitoring the game, the same
amount. Right, well, he gets suspended, but he came back and he looked good, you know, last night again, or yeah, Sunday night against the Dodgers, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But you know what? He comes back the second time, I think it was about a week or two ago, and the same umpiring crew, and he comes back with all this sticky stuff. Like, what is he thinking about? Like, is there anyone fine-tuning him? He doesn't make much money yet, but I hope the Yankees just work with him, kind of teach him, like, hey, you don't do this, you don't do that.
Well, I think they did, Sandy. I think that they have worked with him. Obviously, it's unacceptable. It's beyond dumb if he had the opportunity to... Well, because he was, you know, to your point, he was warned, and then he went out there and still had the same stuff with the same crew and ended up getting suspended for it. But, you know, Herman has been good when he's been out there for the Yankees. Yeah. He's been effective.
Yeah, but Sal, I hope they don't train him. He just needs some little fine-tuning. Like, he's driving good. He's in good gears. And then he just does the reverse. I don't know what's with him. But, you know, I do like him. And to think, as a human being, as a person, to think, like, oh, I screwed up, and then to reverse gear again, I like to use that, he just goes around, and he just comes back and gives you a good performance. I mean,
well, he was good, and thank you for the call, Sandy. He was good. Zoo, do you think that was a legit call, or do you think that was somebody putting on a voice there? Because I
mean, I really hope that was a legit call.
I hope so, too, but I'm not so sure about it.
I mean, anyway, that would have been a pretty pathetic prank call.
Yeah. Oh, let's take it for face value. But I got to be honest with you and tell you my true feelings. I was not 100% sure through the majority of that call. But anyway, with Domingo Herman, he is a good pitcher. And I said this morning, coming off of last night's show, when I was on at 2 a.m., coming off of last night's game, I should say, for this morning's show. I think at some point we got to look at Domingo Herman and say, you know what, this guy's good. I think there's always going to be that cloud around him for, you know, the domestic abuse stuff, which he got, nailed for a couple years ago. And that's always going to be, at least I don't believe he's going to be able to shake that. That's something that you can't get rid of. Once you are, you know, hit with that, you're kind of stuck with that. But from a sports perspective, from a baseball perspective, he's been good. He's worked his way back, and he's been a consistent, for the most part, reliable arm for that Yankee rotation. And he was just, I mean, he dominates in different ways. Movement on his pitches, location. You know, he's not doing it in a powerful way, but he goes out there and he's effective. He's been one of their better pitchers, Domingo Herman. For a back-end guy, it's another reason why I think the Yankees' depth in that rotation is better than it's been in years past. 877-337-6666. More of your calls on the other side. Plus, I want to get into something that I saw Tom Brady participating in that still brings back bad memories. It haunts me. We'll get into that on the other side as well. 877-337-6666. And it's not the 28-3 Super Bowl either. More of your calls. Sal Licata on the Fan. You'll be happy to know I finished my protein bar, had plenty of time to drink water and actually swallow it, so hopefully no choking this segment. Zoo, did you happen to see Tom Brady take his kids to Disney World. He was posting, or Disneyland. I always forget which one. But do you know which one of the zoo? Have you ever been to either?
I know Disneyland is the one in California. I do know that.
Okay, so Disney World. Have you been to Disney World?
I have been. It's been a long time.
Okay. Have you ever gone on, because Brady took his kids there, and they seem to be, what, you know, 13, 14, maybe 12, something like that. I don't know how old they are.
They're like that middle school age.
There you go. So he took them down there, and then he was posting some pictures. I guess I saw it in a news story. I didn't see it. I don't follow him on social media. I don't pay that much attention to it. Don't even have an Instagram, but I happen to see it, that he was on one of the rides, the Tower of Terror in Disney. Have you been on that ride?
I have. So, dude, I actually went on that ride one time, and you know how they give you the picture, they take the picture mid-ride of everybody on there?
Yes, yeah.
So, they did that for the Tower of Terror, and now, you know, my mom and dad used to, like, really like to buy all those things just so that we would have memories. You know, we didn't take a ton of vacations, so they like to have those. So, we go, we look at the picture, we buy the picture, we're like, oh, you know, we all look scared, it looks great. So we go back to the hotel room, and my mom and dad are diagnosing the picture a little bit more. And my dad looks, and he goes, he looks at the dude sitting across the aisle from him, and he realized that the guy was looking directly at him and laughing at how, like, scared that my dad was.
Dude, it was, so I don't know what you felt about it, and Brady posted the exact thing that you're talking about, the picture with him and his, I think it was his daughter was in that particular one, and she was like stone-faced, and he's screaming, ah, like I would have been. I remember vividly doing this ride with my ex-girlfriend, one who gets referenced a lot here. She'll remain nameless, but anyway, referenced a lot here. It was the first time I was ever at Disney. We never went with my parents for whatever reason. Once we drove down to Florida, we went to, I think, Universal Studios, and that was it. We never went to actually Disney World. My
good
father
time, though, Universal.
Yeah, it was good. I remember we did the E.T. ride. This is going back many years. E.T., I want to say Back to the Future, King Kong. This just shows you how long. I mean, it was probably 94, I want to say 93, 94, maybe 94, 95. Anyway, so I went to Disney for the first time with my ex-girlfriend. And, of course, it was not a magical experience. It was miserable because it just wasn't working. But anyway, she wanted to go on all the rides. And I'm like, I don't really do the roller coaster thing or whatever. So she was already in a bad mood because of that. But then we're walking up to the Tower of Terror. And she's like, oh, this one's not that bad. It's not a roller coaster. I'm like, all right, I think I can handle it. And as we're getting up there, I'm hearing the screams. Ah! You know, the doors are opening or whatever. Ah! I have no idea what I'm getting myself into. We get on this thing. And I am, when I say, like, scared, I mean next level, like, oh my God, I'm going to die scared. To a point where, if you've ever been on it, there's no, like, grips really.
Nope.
Unless it's on, I think, kind of on the side, there might be one. But if, you know, it's kind of tight quarters. And I remember sitting next to my ex-girlfriend's mother. And I didn't care. I was moving her leg out of the way so I could try to grip whatever that little handle is by the seat. You're just basically, you're free falling. I hated that thing. I couldn't walk afterward. I mean, it was hard. Like, yeah, we went on the rock and roller coaster afterward, and that was actually fine because I was at least strapped in. I've done that plenty of times since. I have never again done Tower of Terror, and never will I. One and done for me. Now, I'm glad I did it to say that I did it and experienced it, but, dude, that has to be one of the scariest rides ever.
Yeah, no, I'm not really about the rides. I'm not about the scary rides, bro. The roller coasters, all that, it's not my game.
Dude, I mean, I went on I forget which one it was, some roller coaster where you're going backwards down a thing. I mean, I was like, what am I doing here? I can't be doing this. Anyway, Brady was just like me. I mean, we have that in common. We're both scared of the Tower of Terror. Never again. I've seen it. I did it once. That's it. And I've been back, I think, two or three times to Disney since that first trip, and I've never gotten on that Tower of Terror. And never will. 877-337-6666. Luke is calling from Westchester. Luke, what's on your mind this evening?
Hey, Sal. How you doing tonight? Good?
Good, Luke. How are you?
Good, good. Yeah, I've been on that Tower of Terror. Same thing. I only did it once. I recommend anybody, if you're a little older, you go to Disney World. You want to go on the test track where you have the race car and you go around. That's probably the best one to do. So
I don't know if I did that one or not. I probably would remember. I remember I did Soar or whatever. Is that what it's called? The one where you fly? Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that one was cool, too. So, yeah, Epcot, I think, is the best out of all of them for adults and for older people. So that's my opinion on that. So anyway, I know everybody's talking about the Mets, and this is my big thing is, like, what is the Mets' identity? Because I don't know it right now. You know, when we went into the season, I think they were pretty much saying, hey, it's going to be a good hitting team. You know, we've got some good leadership, some veteran pitchers there. And if you look at the team now, it's like, it's just like trying to put anything together, to piece the lineup together, to put pitchers in there that are consistent. You know, maybe this young catcher is good for us, Alvarez there.
Well, he's got some attitude at least. He brings some swag. I hate to use that word, but that's what he does. Everybody else is just like, it seems like Lindor's afraid to fail and afraid to disappoint because he knows the boos are coming. You know, Alonso's okay. Everybody else is, you know, Marte brings swag too. Marte has that attitude. Now he's got to get healthier here and he's starting to be a little bit better, but Alvarez has that I don't give a bleep attitude. Now that he's had some success, he's had some confidence. You're right, they're lacking in that area, and I don't know what their identity is.
Yeah. Well, I have a theory to this. I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but I really believe this, like, you know, and I think Marte will come around. I do believe that. But I really believe in this day and age, when these guys get the money for the contracts and they get on their social media and then people start bashing them and doing everything possible, these guys just lose confidence. Professional athletes lose confidence quicker than anybody than I've ever seen. And I think that's what happens. And you know, right now you look at McNeil, you know, Pete was struggling with hitting home runs. He finally hit one the other day. I mean, it's just all their main hitters and everything they're getting, you can see. I mean, I don't know if they're afraid to fail or what it is, or they tense up, but I just think once they get these contracts, and us as fans, because we know, I mean, the money they're making and what they're doing in baseball, you're going to fail, you know, what, 7-8 times at the plate? I mean, it's a big load to handle, and that's what I think happens to these guys, and they just get into these slumps, and I think, you know, about 3 or 4 of the Mets are in that right now.
You know, it should be the opposite, though, Mike. Oh, excuse me, Luke. It should be the opposite, and thank you for the call. My eyes are shot. Let me expand the screen a little bit. Thank you for the call, Luke. It should be the opposite. You get paid. Well, the pressure should be off. That money is guaranteed. And I respect that it means a lot. You know, Buck always talks about it with that want to. Want to have guys with that want to. Well, Lindor's got the want to. That's great. Now he's just got to do. Forget the want to. How about you just do? He doesn't want to hear it. He could say, I'm not going to try to block out the boos, you know, embrace it, and that's fine. But he's definitely thinking too much. And to play sports at a high level effectively, and really at any level effectively, you can't think. You just have to do. You have to react. Trust yourself. Trust your instincts. Stop thinking too much. And I think Lindor is the biggest culprit of that, as far as that worrying about, you know, trying to live up to that massive contract. But he already got paid. That money's not going anywhere. Relax. Exhale. You'll be fine. The frustrating part is that he had the bad first year, which is understandable. That's happened to many greats before him. The frustrating part is that after a good year last year, he's back to struggling again this year. And the even more frustrating part is that the Mets are not built to overcome that. They cannot survive without their stars, and he is their biggest star. They cannot survive without their star players performing at a high level. We said that last year. They were fortunate to get the production that they did from Lindor and Alonso. They needed those two to be just as productive as they were a year ago. And it has not been the case. Alonso's done it with the power, but he hasn't done it overall. That's the problem with the Mets. When people say, oh, this team, and you could say what their identity is, it's supposed to be the starting pitching, Verlander and Scherzer. But, you know, Scherzer's just getting going now. Verlander missed the whole first month of the year. And we're going to see how much of their identity is in place this week with Atlanta, these next 3 games, with both Scherzer and Verlander going. Time for payback. This is a payback series. A season-defining series. Time for the Mets to punch the Braves back. Let's see what they're made of. Maybe this is a series that gets Lindor going. Maybe this is a series that wakes them up a little bit and gives them confidence moving forward. Maybe Alvarez can have an impact, unlike his brief time in last year's series against Atlanta. Maybe he could have an impact. But this is the type of series where they need their stars to produce. They have to show up. And you hope that if they do, that it could give them that confidence that they need here. Because it's been way too inconsistent. Up and down and into these ruts. Very frustrating. Chris is calling from Massapequa. What's up, Chris?
What's up, Sal? Listen,
how are you, Chris? Yeah.
I'm good. Did you ever hear about that whole thing with what Scottie Pippen said about Michael Jordan?
I did. Didn't he say something like he's not that good? I mean, come on.
He said that he's not a good player, he was selfish, and he took too many stupid shots.
Yeah.
And all things like that. Now, considering I listened to a certain person from a different network, obviously. I'm not going to say the name. You know who it is, okay. Probably. And they reiterated the fact that, and I saw the video, of Scottie Pippen saying that Michael Jordan was only a teammate, that he was not the reason why they won any championships.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that we're going off topic here from the Mets and all that stuff, but I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I think Scottie Pippen's an idiot. I mean, what faults can you? First of all, I don't know who you're referencing that said something else.
Stephen A. Smith.
Okay, and he said what? He agreed with it?
He said that Scottie Pippen is probably the stupidest person in America.
Yeah, okay, so I agree with Stephen
A.
Smith.
And he pulled out Michael Jordan's resume and said that Scottie Pippen only has all the rings that he has because of Michael Jordan.
Chris,
even when, during 93-94, when Scottie Pippen, during a commercial break, and I'm sure, I don't know, you're around my
age.
You might remember.
Yeah, Pippen.
When he put his
Pippen
shoe up and he had the
Jordan. Yeah, I remember it. He didn't want to go in a game. Look, Pippen was upset. Tony Kukoc had plays drawn from. Here's the thing. Now, Chris, I do sports talk 5 days a week, right? Whatever times I'm on.
I know. Right, I follow you.
No, okay. But I'm just giving an example. I saw the story like on Twitter or whatever. I have not brought it up once. And I don't care that you do. That's fine. I said you could talk about whatever you want, and it is topical. But the reason why I didn't bring it up is because what is there to say? Like, does anybody take Scottie Pippen's?
Right. I'm just very into basketball, so I wanted to hear what your thoughts are because I love you, your personality, everything about what you do. So I wanted to hear what you
No, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I'm just saying, like, what is there to say other than Scottie Pippen is a complete idiot? And I used to love Scottie Pippen as a player.
Well, think about it. He had to be on a drug or something to be able to say something like that because it looked like he actually meant it.
Yeah, he's got some issues. Isn't Michael Jordan's son dating Pippen's ex-wife?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, look, if somebody's, and thank you for the call, Chris. I appreciate you checking in. I do appreciate the kind words. And I don't mind you bringing it up. I'm just telling you why I didn't bring it up. It wasn't like, I forgot. It was just that I thought, well, what the hell am I going to say to this? I'm not even going to give this guy, Scottie Pippen, any credibility for this idiotic comment, because that's exactly what he wants. He wants everybody to talk about it, like Stephen A. Smith and everybody else that does these shows. He wants to get the attention. He wants to get Michael Jordan's attention when Jordan just looks at him and laughs at him. He doesn't even talk to him. I think it's sad when teammates like that have achieved so much success go back and forth at each other. It reminds me a little bit when Charles Oakley said the same thing about Patrick Ewing, or similar. Charles Oakley got all upset at Patrick Ewing because Ewing didn't defend Oakley when he was going through the beef with James Dolan. And then he started to take shots at him saying he wasn't a great player or this or that. I mean, come on, dude. And I told Oakley to his face. I had him on. We were interviewing him for the Knicks podcast they used to do for the New York Post. Told him to his face, come on. Man, that breaks Knicks fans' hearts, 90s Knicks fans. You can't be fighting with Ewing like that. It's ridiculous. You guys gave your blood, sweat, and tears every single night together. That's what made you great, and I think they've since made up a little bit. But I hate that stuff. Feelings get hurt. Guys say things that they don't mean. And even if he meant it, no, but we all watched how great Michael Jordan is. What Scottie Pippen said may even be dumber than what Roscoe in Brooklyn said earlier in the show. Is it from Brooklyn? I forget where he's from. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That may be the dumbest thing I've ever heard when it comes to sports, that Michael Jordan wasn't that good. Okay, got it, Scotty. Whatever you say, bro. And he's just mad because his ex-wife is, you know, dating Michael Jordan's son. Jordan wins again. 877-337-6666. More of your calls on the other side. Sal Licata on the Fan. Like I said, I did some mulch today. I actually felt like a real homeowner, like a real full-grown man today. Because a lot of times I still feel like a little boy, truth be told. And I know you're thinking, yeah, you sound like it on the air at times. But, you know, I let my dad do most of the manly stuff. And then he died. And then I was like, oh, crap, I guess I have to do some of this stuff. And unfortunately, he didn't live long enough to help me get acclimated to being a new homeowner. And, you know, a lot of the little things that I just either don't think about or whatever, they come up and you have to learn on your own. And my father was never big into the yard work, didn't really give a crap. And therefore, I never gave a crap about it. But we got a house with decent yard. What do you even call it? I don't know.
Area?
Shrubbery. What does it do?
I was saying a yard area.
Well, you know, like landscaping is what the word
shrubbery.
I was looking for. Yeah, yeah, whatever, right, like that stuff. Like we bought a house that the prior homeowners did care about that stuff. Unfortunately, I didn't realize the upkeep that it takes. So like I said, I've told this story, you know, on the air here a couple of times over the course of the last couple of weeks. I decided to do the mulch myself this year because I got tired of looking at the weeds. Yeah, actually, the truth is I got tired of hearing my wife tell me that she got tired of looking at the weeds. That's how it's up, because I really don't give a crap. Oh, is that weeds? I thought it was just grass growing in the soil over there. I didn't know. So I got tired of my wife telling me that she didn't like the way that it looked. So then I was like, all right, well, let's see. I asked the landscaper how much. And he's like, $2,000 to do the mulch and the plants. I'm like, $2,000? No, I'm not doing that. You know what? Let me be a big boy and do it myself. Got the mulch dropped off for $200, and away we go. Now, I didn't realize how heavy these bags of mulch are. I also didn't realize how long it takes. It's a matter of, you know, picking the thing up, taking it over to the area that it needs to go. You open the bag up and you're like, oh, well, that's not enough. I guess I got to go get another bag. And then so on. 45 bags later, I finally today, because garbage day was today, and this shows how old you are and what a homeowner you are. Like, I get excited when it's garbage day. I was even looking out the window watching the guy come to get it. I was like, oh, is he here? Let me see him take it all. Because I took all the mulch that was remaining, probably 15 bags or 20 bags. I'm about halfway done. And took them off the pallet so I could get the pallet itself out of the driveway and into the garbage. And they did. They came and took it and whatever. So I did a little more mulch. But I mulched. I did some grilling today. I grilled chicken for the week. You know, healthy diet. You get some, picked up some chicken cutlets. Throw them on the grill, and now I have dinner for the week in front of me here. A nice productive day. Went to the gym, little post office, and here I am doing a show. 877-337-6666. Chris is calling from Monmouth County, New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Sal, man. Good day for you, man. Grilling, doing the mulch, all good. Good luck on the home, dude.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it.
Listen, a couple things. And Big Zoo's the best, by the way. I call with him with Joe. And he's the man. A really good dude, just a good guy. So 46 here. I wanted to make a baseball point, but a quick thing on the Pippen thing. If you are so right. I'm a 90s Knicks fan all day long. I call about the Knicks all the time to BT and everybody. It's like, come on, Oak. I get it, man. You're a little frustrated. I get it. We love you, man. Don't be going against Ewing. I mean, that's like your parents fighting. I mean, it's like you don't want to see it. It's like
it was worse. It was worse. I expect mom and dad to fight.
It was like, come on, dude. We lived and breathed the pain and the joy with you. So,
and what made them special, Chris, was the fact that they were a team.
100%. And that's my point, even in baseball. But listen, you go on YouTube, you watch Jordan, and I'll tell you right now, he's the best. He's the best. And they killed us all day long. And there's no comparison. I won't get into the LeBron thing here, but basketball is a game of improvisation. The man improvised. He was unbelievable. So with baseball, and not even so much the Mets, you're talking about Lindor, you know, inconsistencies. Is it me, and I want to make a movie reference, is it me that these guys are great players? They're in the majors for a reason. But are they just not as good as they used to be? Because it's like, you're right. Like even like a Bryce Harper. Dude, You should be good every year. I'm not saying a slump here and there, but it seems like these guys, to the caller's last point, they sign these contracts, huge, and then there's like mediocre players, and it's very, very disappointing. And real quick, I'd love to hear what you have to say to that, but you remember the movie The Fan with Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes? You ever see that movie?
I know about it. I did not see it.
Okay. So basically, Wesley Snipes plays for the San Francisco Giants. De Niro's like a crazy psychotic fan. He loves Snipes' character and whatnot. Snipes loses his number, and he's in a big, big slump. For whatever reason, De Niro gets the number back for Wesley Snipes, okay? And now Snipes is on a hitting streak. He's amazing. The two of them, because it's a movie, they hook up, and De Niro gets involved in his private life, gets to his house, and they build like a little bit of a friendship. They start playing baseball in the backyard. De Niro's pitching, Snipes is hitting. And De Niro says to Snipes, "So, why do you think you're hitting so well? Is it because you got your number back?" He goes, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You got your number back, you're hitting, right, man? That's what it's about." And Snipes goes, "That's not what it is. I just stopped caring." And to your point, you sign the contract, the pressure's off, not to don't care. Play the game. Stop being all this. So watch the movie. But yeah, man, I got to tell you, I don't know, Sal. It's like when I was a kid, man, I was a Mets fan growing up.
Well, they got to make it fun. You know, when Lindor's trying to play to the pressure of the $340 million contract, and thank you for the call, Chris. When Lindor's trying to play to the pressure of that, I respect that he wants to do well. But ultimately, you can't think about that. And I don't know if he is or he isn't, but I do know that he's struggling. And I do know that he's a better player than this. And you've seen him before. It was clear where the first year here, he let the stuff get to him. I think he might be letting the stuff get to him again, you know, the booze and just the negativity. And maybe he can't figure out a way to get out of it. The way is to just go back to playing baseball and having fun, which I think he did last year under the first year of Buck. What was his, Zoo, do you remember his second point there? He went on so long on the third point that I forgot what the hell he was talking about on the second point, but I had something that I wanted to say to it.
Oh, I don't know. I think he was mentioning how great of a guy I was.
Well, yeah, that he did say that. The consistency of the players. Look, consistency in sports is the hardest thing to find. It's why, thankfully, Fred McGriff is finally a Hall of Famer, but it's why I always complain about him not being a Hall of Famer. It made no sense to me. All the guy did every single year was hit 30 home runs or more every year. Look at it. Guys that are consistent are the most valuable commodities in sports. When you're giving out a contract, it doesn't matter if it's a guy like Chris Bassitt, Marcus Stroman. You know, these are guys who are not top pitchers, but guys who you pretty much know what you're getting every fifth day. There's great value in that. I love that. I know there were some off the field or concerns in the clubhouse with Stroman, but Marcus Stroman was as consistent a pitcher as the Mets have had in many years. Obviously not the top guy, but he was consistent. And even Bassitt last year, and I'm fine with them moving on from Bassitt because, you know, he got beat up in the times where it counted the most against Atlanta or San Diego, both. How could you trust him in October again? And this is a team that has expectations of playing or aspirations of playing in October. So I understand it, but I'm just saying consistency is, to me, the most valuable commodity in sports. When you can rely on somebody to put up the numbers or to produce in a certain way, and you know you're going to get that from them, it makes everything else that much easier. But for whatever reason, it's very difficult to find, especially nowadays, whether it's guys getting hurt, especially in pitching. Year to year, it's different. Bullpens, we know, are fickle, but even the starters, it's become a year-to-year thing.